Let's find together the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings in the Old Testament. 1 Kings. Give you a few moments when you get to 1 Kings. Those of you on your iPads and your phones, you can find it quicker than those in the books. 1 Kings chapter number 17. 1 Kings chapter number 17. I am going to look this morning, 17th chapter, and starting at the 8th verse. Amen. All right. How many of you have it this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
That sounds like the majority. Would you please stand this morning? The book of Kings chapter, 1 Kings chapter number 17. Starting this morning at the 8th verse. A very profound story in the Old Testament regarding the prophet Elijah and his ministry. Reading starting at the 8th verse, then the word of the Lord came to him. Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow who was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, bring me a little water in a vessel that I might drink. And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. Now I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I might go and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, do not fear. Would you say that out loud? Do not fear. One more time. Do not fear. Go and do as you have said. But first, make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterward, make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jar of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did as Elijah said. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. I want to use as a title to this morning's message, there is more than you think. There is more than you think. Remain standing. Father, I give you thanks and praise, O God, our God, whom we call Jehovah Jireh, the great and mighty provider. This morning, give us an open eye to be able to see the possibilities that exist in your kingdom and the possibilities that exist right here on earth. Help us to see, to hear, and to understand the word of God. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the house. I again remind you the title of today's message, there really is more than you think. There is more than you think. Years ago, when I was in college, my freshman year, I purposed in my heart as I left, and I want to put you in context, my mother was not wealthy. As a matter of fact, she was a single mom because my father had passed so many years before. And so she was a single mom raising four children. And of the four, I was the oldest, the eldest, the most mature. But in the process of raising us, she was a college graduate and instilled in us a desire for education. And so I was the first to graduate high school and then the first to want to go to college. I blazed the trail. But when I went, I want to help you now. There was not millions of dollars to send me to where I believe that God was leading. And so I had to understand that going, I could not rely on the resources of the house. So I had to go in faith. Anybody ever had to go somewhere in faith? You didn't know how. You didn't know how he was going to do it. But thank God at that age, I at least had the common sense to believe God. So when I got there, I made it a point, I'm not going to be this person that's going to always call the house. Mama, I need. Mama, send me this. Y'all send me some, I'm hungry. Listen, if it was going to be ramen noodles every night, it would have to be that way. But for some kind of way, we ate and we ate good. We participated in what the school offered at Oral Roberts University. And so it just being part of that community, there was not a lot of lack there in my estimation. But I noticed one day that, again, I didn't want to write home asking for something. And I was doing work study, but that was work study for the school bill. So the stuff that you needed, the regular stuff, like toothpaste, That came at a premium. Sometimes you don't realize that, you know, you waste toothpaste. You would leave half of your toothpaste in the sink, but there's some people that tube of toothpaste has to last. I said, Lord, I refuse to call home even for toothpaste. Got halfway through that semester, and that tube started looking kind of low. And I said, man, if I'm going to live by faith, let's start off with toothpaste. See, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Sometimes we want to just live by faith on Sunday morning. But it means living by faith all the time. So I'm saying to myself, this tube of toothpaste will be a blessing to me. And so every morning, I'm gonna help you understand, this is how I woke this thing up. Every morning I got up to brush my teeth and I said, see, the Bible says, Jesus said, don't be anxious about anything. But in that same process, he said, consider the lilies, how they grow. They don't toil or spin, they don't labor, but yet the Heavenly Father blesses them. Consider the birds of the air, how God opens doors and feeds them. So that became my every morning prayer. Right in that mirror, I would put that tube of toothpaste on that toothbrush, and I would say, Lord, I'm considering the lilies. Now, you can call it a miracle. You can call it, because I like when I put toothpaste on the tube, I like a lot of toothpaste. I don't just do that little slot. I want a whole toothpaste all over there. I want that. I want all that. I wasn't trying to cut back. I just was saying, Lord, I thank you for keeping me. And I put that toothpaste on that toothbrush, and I brushed, and I said, Lord, I'm considering the lilies for that whole semester. The next semester, I'm considering the lilies. I went through a whole year on one tube of toothpaste. Now folk can't even go a whole month without going to this Walmart, buying a whole year. Call it a miracle, call it whatever you want to. I'm telling you that my tube of toothpaste didn't run out. And what I want to bring to you this morning is that God has more than enough, more than you will ever need, but understand that you cannot walk around with the mentality that there is not enough. I will tell you that there is more than enough. Economists will tell you through the study of history that in the 1920s and 30s, everybody thought the end of the world was near because of the Great Depression. There may be one or two of you who are and were touched by the Great Depression of the 20s and 30s, but many of you have only read about it in history books. There was a point where in the 20s and 30s that most people thought they would never eat again. But I want to also tell you that in the 20s and 30s, people became millionaires. People became millionaires when some people didn't think there was enough to even have a next meal. In the 1970s, more of you will remember that. Then in the 1970s, there was a so-called oil shortage and a crisis where people were in lines around the corner trying to fill up their tanks because we are running out of oil in the 1970s. But I want to also tell you that at the same time, people made more money than you can imagine. In 2008, the latest and last recession that we went through, stock prices went down, but more money was made during that time than people will ever know. Finally, most recently, last year, you remember Harvey. Folk was 4 o'clock in the morning trying to hurry up to the gas station because there was a so-called and perceived lack. Little did we realize that if everybody would have just stopped, not panic, but just get your gas when you usually get your gas, we would not have had the shortage crisis that we did. But folk, because they were on one third down, they had to fill that tank up to the top. What was all of that? Panic. Notice what the prophet told this woman. Do not fear. Most of us, when we are in life and we make decisions based on the information that we have, but sometimes we allow fear to be the predominant source. And this fear is usually not based on what we see, but it's based on what we perceive. Perception, for most of us, is greater than what? Reality. And so it is vital that we understand God's economy and not our own economy. See, there is more with God than there is with us. And so what we have to see in this text, in our text this morning, is that this woman was at her last, she was prepared, as you saw her say, she was ready to have this last meal, and then she was going to go home and die. Man, I don't know about you, but that is the worst case scenario. In our text, we find that Elijah the prophet has been called to do one thing. I mean, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want this particular call. I'd rather call, that we can have church and be happy and show people God's grace. Elijah's call was to go tell Israel, you are off the track, you are messed up, and for 3.5 years, it's not going to rain. That was his message. I don't think he had too many people coming to church. So he gave this message, and then not thinking that he was going to be in the same mess that everybody else was going to be in, Elijah realized that if nobody else is eating, I can't eat either. But God comes to him and says, Elijah, I want you to go by the river, by the brook, And I'm going to make sure that you eat. Number one, I want you to drink from the brook. And then secondly, watch what he says. I have commanded a raven or ravens to feed you there. Can you imagine the ravens being your food service? God says, I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. But here we find now that this brook has dried up. And the very source, watch this, where Elijah thinks he'll have his food is no longer there. This is where I believe, brothers and sisters, that we find ourselves. When we look at the brook as our source, we get afraid when the brook begins to dry up. We never should focus on the brook, but you focus on the one who created the brook. You never focus on yourself as your source, but you focus on the one that created you. Because you have limitations. I don't know if you knew that or not, but you have limitations. There are things that you can do, and then there are things that you can't do. There are places you can go, and then there are places you can't go. You have limitations, but God has no limits. Everybody say with me, no limits. And I'm not talking about no limit soldiers. I'm talking about God has no limits. And so with God, there is more than you think. What I want you to do this morning is open your spiritual eyes and see beyond what you see naturally. See beyond your bank account. See beyond what you can do. If you can ever get beyond yourself, get beyond what you can do, then, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we'll get to the place where we can do and understand that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I want to see a church that begins to develop themselves and their mindset that nothing is impossible with God, but that we can do all things, that there are no limits in our lives if we would just open ourselves up to the fact that God is our source. I don't care if you did not finish your high school education. I don't care if you didn't finish college or even if you don't have your master's. God is not limited to that. I'm not saying don't get it, but God is not limited to your education. God is not limited to who you grew up with and who raised you. If that were the case, my single parent mother would have limited me in the process. But because God gave us vision, we were able to get out of the mentality of ninth ward born, ninth ward bred. When we die, we gonna be ninth ward dead. Man, if we don't get out of the mentality of stuck in the system is not your problem. You are your problem for letting the system stop you. There is more than you think. You can do more than you have done. You can be more than who you think you can be. But you gotta get into what God says. Elijah goes to the, Jesus said it this way, in Israel there were a whole lot of widows, but God sent Elijah outside of Israel to a far country and then met with a widow in Zarephath. Why was that? Sometimes I look at that and ask why. Really, Jesus, was there not one widow in Israel who would have looked upon the man of God and said, I'm going to believe the word? Was there not one? But God proved a lesson. I'm going to take you outside of the promises of Israel and put you in a land that is considered foreign. And when I put you there, I'm going to put you with one of the people who in that land is considered one of the least. And I'm going to show you that in the midst of famine, I can save, I can heal, I can deliver, and I can give you anything and everything that you need. Watch this. I'm going to give you 3 points this morning. Number one, in this, there is more than you think. Number one, I want you to know this and make a note of this, that there is always a right place and a right time. I want you to really, really hear this. There's always a right place and a right time. But some of us, we have one or two problems with this. We're so focused on trying to find the right place and the right time that we never do anything. We just stuck. Is this the right time to get married? We've been dating now for the last 5 years. But I don't know if this is the right time. Is this the right time for me to go to school? I've been at this job, this dead-end job, for the last 9 years, and I know that in order for me to get to the next level, I've got to get some more education. Is this the right time? Some of us want to spend our time questioning when we need to step out and make a move. But I don't want to talk to that group this morning. I want to talk to the ones who think you can do anything anywhere and be anybody that you want to be. That's the ones I want to talk to this morning. Because see, God has a call on each and every one of our lives. God's promise is that if you are willing, watch this now, and obedient, you will eat the fruit of the land. You've got to be willing to trust God in doing what God wants you to do and not what you want to do. Elijah could have said, is there not one? You want me to walk all them 100 miles to Zarephath? I don't think I need to go to Zarephath. I'm going to go to this widow down the street. And when that widow down the street looks at him funny and asks him, what is he talking about? If you don't get away from me, I'm going to tell everybody that you're trying to take my last meal. But Elijah goes where God tells him to go and puts himself in the right place at the right time. Some of us need to stop and listen and focus and let God lead you. The reason I am where I am today, the reason that I'll take a moment, I forgot to do this. Would you give Rona a hand clap? She just got promoted to sergeant. I forgot to say that. I forgot to say that. She probably would have been a sergeant in New Orleans. But here's the funny thing. When you are in New Orleans doing what we do right now, you would probably make half of what we make right now in another place. But because we picked up bags and came to North Texas, left our home, our own hometown, left all them gumbos and fried oysters and snowballs that'll make you want to slap somebody, and you came to North Texas because you sensed that God wanted you here. Notice what the prophet is told. He says, arise, this is in verse number 8, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. For some of us, there is a place called there. And for some of us, we need to find out where that place called there is and then get to where there is so that you can be ready to receive that overflow blessing. But because some of us refuse to go where God said, all my family is there. I can't leave my mom and them. I got to be close to home. I I got to be in a place where I'm comfortable, where I know where all the streets are, where I know where the side alleys are. I got to be comfortable in my own hometown. There is a time and a place where you will, God will sometimes move you out of your comfort zone so that you can be in a place to trust God and trust God alone.
Yeah.
A right place and a right time. You've got to be willing to, watch this now, I'm going to help some of y'all. Some of y'all need to learn how to wait for God. God gives you some instructions, tell you what God's going to do in your life. And you know the first thing you do? You get on the phone. Child, let me tell you what God just told me. I'm about to be the blessing to the blood. I'm about to do it up. I'm about to do it big. I'm grinding and I'm about to blow up. And instead of folk being happy for you, they start looking at you, you arrogant thing. You, do you not know who you are? Do you not? Well, first of all, folk don't expect folk to celebrate with you all the time. You remember Joseph in his situation, he got in trouble because he won't go tell his brothers what he's about to do. Sometimes we need to keep our mouth shut. Sometimes it's not the right time to say something. But then when it is the right time, go ahead and stop procrastinating. Look at your neighbor and say, stop. Come on, one more time. Stop procrastinating. God told you to do something 5 years ago and you still trying to figure out why you can't do it. There is a place and a time for you to make a move, and some of us need to make that move. Don't make it too early, but please don't procrastinate and make it too late. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Second point I want to make, first of all, there is a right time, always a right time and a right place. I think about my relationship with Rona Bates. The way she tell me she used to be when she was young, I'm glad I didn't meet her back then. Let her sisters tell her she was a bully.
Yeah.
Amen, amen. Was she a bully? Yeah. Was she rough? Was she tough? Yeah. I don't know if I necessarily liked her back then. I had to let God work on her, transform her and change her, mold her and make her. But you know what? I don't think Rona Bates would have liked me either. Because I was a mess. I was sensitive. And if you put a bully and a sensitive person together, that don't work. You hurt my feelings. Well, get up and do what I ask you to do. Number two, God always commands the blessing into our lives. God always commands the blessing into our lives. Notice what he tells first about the brook. You shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded ravens to feed you there. Secondly, behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you. If we don't realize and begin to expect from God the blessing, when God tells you to do something, I like how one old-time saying goes, the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God can't keep you. If God sent you there, God can keep you there. If God tells you to go somewhere, God is responsible to make a way out of nowhere. God is responsible, not you. And you can't worry yourself into blessing. You can't have enough anxiety to create something, a blessing in your life. But it only comes through faith. And let me help you who are not in Bible study. Faith comes only by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So we walk by faith and not by sight. So what are you looking at? When God gives you something, you've got to step out and walk by faith. You cannot worry about the storm around you. Man, there is a place where peace in the middle of the storm is, but then there's a place where you say, peace be still. And then lastly, There are always, now this is the one I like, because this one helps me understand it's not all about me. There are always covenant partners. And you know what a covenant partner is? A covenant is a binding agreement between two or more people. There are always covenant partners that need what you have and have what you need. I'm going to say that again. There are always covenant partners that need what you have and have what you need. Did you know marriages are covenant relationships, binding agreements between two or more parties? When you come together in a marital relationship, you know you are forming a covenant, meaning from there on you are saying, woman, I have everything you need. But baby, that's New Orleans stuff. Baby, you got everything I'll ever need. That's covenant. And in this covenant partnership, there's always an understanding that this, you cannot do this by yourself. If we get, you know, I know in America we have formulated this I, myself. But God has never operated that way. Do you know God could have just told Elijah to go somewhere and he supernaturally provided what he needed? He just made it out of nowhere. Abracadabra, Valamazoo. Look here, Elijah, now you eat too. But what did Elijah do in this covenant relationship with this widow woman? Number one, he went there with what she needed. I want to help you now. Here we go. She didn't need more oil. She didn't need more flour. She needed a word from God. She needed to hear that God was looking out for her. She needed to hear that God loved her. She needed God's word. And Elijah had God's word. You think Elijah needed that one little piece of meal? No. But think about this, that when Elijah got that first meal, he gave her God's word, and then God's word went to work on what she had. Imagine, like my tube of toothpaste, it just never seems to run out. Every time I fry up that chicken keeps on coming back. That oil keeps on going. You remember Jesus feeding 5,000 with just a little bit of fish and some loaves of bread? And it just seems like every time they handed it out, there was more than they thought. Every time they gave some more, I know we're going to get to the last 10 and we're going to run out. But every time they cut up that fish, there was more than they thought. There was more than they thought. I'm telling you, you go home and look at your bank account and you tell your statement, there is really more than I think. It may not be in here, but God has a place. God has a covenant partner. God has something in the right place and the right time that will keep me going beyond what I think I can do. What I've got to do, though, is get out of the mentality that what I see is all there is. Come on, music, y'all, come back. Can I say to you that this day, let this day be a change not just of your attitude, but a change of your mindset. I don't care who you are, from the least to the greatest in this room. You don't have to place limitations on yourself. You don't have to keep yourself limited based on what you think. But know this, that God has more than you need. Amen. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I want you to find somebody that you're close to and tell them there is more. There is more than you think. Look at one more person, somebody who you didn't talk to yet, and tell them, there is more. More than you think. Are you a no limit soldier this morning? Some folks say, what does that mean? What is that? What is that? What you talking about, Pastor? Trust me, there is more than you think. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks this morning. We thank you for the word of God, for giving us insight and wisdom to see beyond the seen, to believe beyond the believable, to go where others refuse to go. Give us wisdom and insight to know that we are more than capable through Christ Jesus to accomplish the will and vision of God than we would have ever known in ourselves. We give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.